afternoon. My name is Maryam, graduate student at Brock University. The title of my talk is about the impact of gadolinium site doping on magnetic transport and a specific heat behavior of multiferroic gadolinium copper oxide. What is the multiferroic materials? Multiferroics are the materials that have two or three properties of ferromagnetism, ferroelectricity, and ferroelasticity in the same phase. We know that for the ferromagnetic materials, we have like this, we have a magnetization when we apply the magnetic field. In the ferroelectric materials, we have a spontaneous polarization when we apply the electric field. And for the ferroelastic property materials, we have a strain when we apply the stress in the materials. Gadolinium copper oxide is one of the good candidates in the multiferroic materials. This material has an antiferromagnetic properties with 2 nil temperature of 7 Kelvin and 280 Kelvin. This material is interesting for research because we can have the magnetoelectric and magnetoelastic coupling below 15 Kelvin for this compound. In this graph, we can see that we have the magnetization with electric field. It means that we can have the reorientation of the magnetization by applying the electric field like this one. It means that we can have the hysteresis loop between the magnetization and the electric field instead of magnetization with magnetic field. Gadolinium copper oxide has a tetragonal 2' structure. We can see the structure of this compound here. The blue ones are gadolinium, and the octahedral shapes are copper oxide. The A parameter for this structure is 3.89 angstrom, and the C structure is 11.86. The A is this one, or this side, and the C is this side. In this project, we studied the magnetic transport and specific heat properties of gadolinium copper oxide by doping with 2% of calcium, strontium, and thorium. All these elements have the same oxidation numbers, but with different radius. And we measure this property by MPMS and PPMS. Here, we measure the susceptibility of the elements. Here we have the graph of the susceptibility versus temperature. The black line is the undoped sample. It means that gadolinium copper oxide. The red one is the sample doped with thorium. The green one is the sample doped with strontium. And the blue one is the sample doped with calcium. We can see that for this graph, the undoped sample, we have one transition temperature here. This is a nil temperature. And this nil temperature is equal to the nil temperature of the gadolinium. It is about the 7 Kelvin. The second one is about the 25 Kelvin. This is because of the distortion of the, if you remember the previous slide, this is because of the distortion of the copper oxide plane. And here, the third transition temperature is the nil temperature that it is equal to nil temperature of the copper. It is about 280 Kelvin. In this graph, we can see that for all doped samples, we have the similar behavior for susceptibility temperature. We don't have any significant shift in the nil temperature of the gadolinium and the transition temperature of the 25 Kelvin. But for the sample doped with the thorium, we have a small shift in the nil temperature of the copper. Yeah, thank you. And also we have a decrease in the susceptibility for the, all the samples that we dropped. Because we wanted to know about the behavior of the samples between nil temperature of the 7 Kelvin and the nil temperature of 280 Kelvin, we measured the magnetization with magnetic field for the sample doped with the thorium in the different temperature. Here, the green one is the green line is the hysteresis loop of the samples measured in 150 Kelvin. The red one is the hysteresis loop of the sample measured on 25 Kelvin, and the blue one measured at 10 Kelvin. And we can see that we don't have any hysteresis loop at 10 Kelvin, so we don't have any ferromagnetism. We have a hysteresis loop at 25 Kelvin. It means that we have ferromagnetism at this temperature. And by increasing the temperature to 150 Kelvin, we can see that the area of the hysteresis loop is decreasing. It means that the ferromagnetism is decreasing too. And the magnetization for the sample measured at 25 Kelvin at magnetic field 400 Oersted was about 1.34 EMU per gram. Here we measured the heat capacity of the samples. Again, the black one is undoped sample, the green one is the doped with strontium, and the red one is for thorium. Here, it shows the nil temperature of the all the samples, about 7 Kelvin, this part. And we can see that we don't have any significant change in the nil temperature of the gadolinium for all the samples. And in high temperature at this part, we can see that we can see that by doping in the green one and the red one, we have an increase in phonon scattering for doped samples. And also here in this part, between temperature 20 to 30 Kelvin, we can see that we can fit this part of the heat capacity graph to Debye temperature law for the heat capacity. Here, we know that in Debye law for the heat capacity, we have the heat capacity is proportional to cubic temperature. If we show the graph of the heat capacity versus the temperature cubic, we have the linear line for only the temperature 20 to 30 Kelvin. We measure the slope of this line, the beta, and we see that by doping, we have the increase in the slope of these samples. But for this range, it means that we have, again, it shows that we have an increase in the phonon scattering by doping. We measure the resistivity of the samples, the undoped and the doped with strontium. In this graph, the behavior of the graph shows that the both samples are insulator. Here, below the room temperature, we can see that the green one doped with strontium, we have an decrease in conductivity. It means that the resistivity for this sample is higher than the undoped sample. And here, for calculating the activation energy, we use this formula. The resistivity is proportional to exponential activation energy divided to KBT. We show the graph of the natural logarithm of resistivity versus inverse temperature. And by calculating the slope of the graph, we can see that again, because of the number of the activation energy, we can see that yes, the samples have insulator behavior. So for these samples, we conclude that all samples have antiferromagnetic behavior at temperature 260 to 290 Kelvin because of the super exchange interaction between copper oxide plane. We have, again, antiferromagnetic ordering about the 7 Kelvin because of the super exchange interaction of the gadolinium moments. And also, we found a weak ferromagnetism about 25 Kelvin because of the a small distortion of the copper oxide planes. At the end, I have to thank the Brock University in Zurich, the MRI and CFI because of funding, and also the Primitive Institute for this conference, and thanks for your attention.